could Pakistan's crisis end in a military coup? Experts are not ruling out the possibility of a military takeover in Pakistan after Tehreek-e-Insaf chief Imran Khan and preacher Tahir al-Qadri led protests which have called for the resignation of Prime Minister Sharif. Well, in this edition of The Debate, we'll discuss whether the demos by Khan and Qadri will actually pay off, why these protests are erupting at this time, 15 months after the general elections, lasting for 2 weeks now, which has claimed three lives, and whether this has anything to do with the friction between the powerful military and the Prime Minister Sharif. Let me introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. Professor of Law at Washburn University, Niyaghat Ali Khan, joins us from Topeka, Kansas. And from the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, Sadaqat Ali Abbasi joins us from Islamabad. Gentlemen, welcome. Let me start with you, Sadaqat Ali Abbasi. 1 year after the Prime Minister Sharif was elected, and according to international observers, he won by a landslide. Why is Imran Khan and Tahir al-Qadri claiming election fraud and leading this protest? In other words, ultimately, what is in it for Imran Khan and Tahir al-Qadri?
Hello to everyone. After this election was conducted, we got to know that this election was massively rigged. We had got all evidence. We were given a judicial process where Imran Khan was given an option to object and the option to launch its objection. But after there was a tenure of 4 months. Within 4 months, the cases were not decided. Then we went on to other options. We went to Supreme Court. We went to all other available forums. There was no justice given to us. After that, Imran Khan announced and requested Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif to open 4 constituencies and to have an election audit. But he refused to do that. Then he went on protesting. There were rallies for 3-4 months. There were protests against Election Commission, but nothing happened. Ultimately, Imran Khan gave a call of a long march, and which started around the 14th of August, and it came to Islamabad. Here, our party, our leader, we are protesting for election rigging and want our election to be audited as it happened in Afghanistan, or if it would have been a fair election like India, we would have had no objection. So we are here for justice, and the protests were peaceful. Day before yesterday, the protesters were moving their venue from a place outside Supreme Court to a place outside the Prime Minister House. This protest remained for something like 17 days, and it was very peaceful. Nothing happened. All the protesters used to come, and they used to hear speeches. They used to have their celebrations, their party songs, and they used to go back. Uh-huh. That day, when they were moving from one place to another within the same area, police attacked the protesters, and they threw tear gassing, and then they fired bullets, rubber bullets, on protesters, which caused something like 500 injuries, and something like there were few people who also lost their lives.
Okay.
There were women and children, and everything was disrupted.
Well, let's find out what Niyaghat Ali Khan thinks about your statements there. Niyaghat Ali Khan.
Thank you very much for inviting me to this debate. I think the charges of rigged elections, maybe they are legitimate. And I think the system should have worked to respond to these allegations. But it seems like the situation is much more complex than Mr. Imran Khan is presenting to the nation. Imran Khan has 35 seats in the parliament, but the other gentleman, who is little more revolutionary than Mr. Imran Khan, he has no seats in the parliament. Actually, he's a Canadian citizen and also a citizen of Pakistan. These two gentlemen, they have coordinated their efforts, and they're both in Islamabad in the red zone, and they are trying to topple the government. I think Mr. Imran Khan has joined hands with Mr. Qadri, and they want to bring a revolution. They don't believe in the parliament. They don't believe in the Supreme Court. They don't believe in the election commission. The only thing they believe in is the armed forces of Pakistan. And I think that is not the way to advance the democratic process in Pakistan. So the claim of Mr. Imran Khan that he is democratic is not believable because of his alliance with Mr. Qadri.
Well, Sadaqat Ali Abbasi, if you have an answer to Liaquat Ali Khan there. If not, you talked about how these protests have been peaceful, yet we know that the state TV was occupied for a brief moment on Monday. The channel briefly went off the air. We know that clashes have occurred. You said that that happened. You said 500 people were injured. 3 people have died. Even though the state TV incident, Imran Khan has kept his distance from that he didn't promote that. I mean, how much worse is this going to get, given the fact that you are from the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf party?
Listen, I listened to the Liaquat Ali Khan's argument, but the point is that what option do we have as a political party who secured something like 8 million votes, and we have tried all options of getting justice? Is arranging a peaceful protest for 18 days not enough to prove that we were very peaceful, and the attack, the mob attacked the state TV? Imran Khan immediately appeared on TV, and he criticized that, and he even announced that my workers will defend, will protect those people, that state channel. I guess accusing someone to be having a dual nationality is not enough. Whatever they've been complaining, no one listened to that. Imran Khan believed in Supreme Court. He believed in Parliament. He went to Parliament and asked for election audit. He went to Supreme Court. He went to election tribunals. He went and requested the Prime Minister, the political parties, to listen to him, to listen to his demand. But all these demands were rejected. And this Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, who has got rigged this election and benefited from that, and he has actually ruined the country's economy. All his family, his friends are occupying all key positions. So this is what Tahir al-Qadri has been complaining. This is what Imran Khan has been complaining. But Imran Khan wanted his electoral reforms. He said 2013 election should be audited, and in presence of Nawaz Sharif as a prime minister, no state machinery can work to give justice to Imran. That's why he demanded his resignation. He did not attack. He did not storm anything. Neither did he demand that. He is demanding his prime minister's resignation through a peaceful protest, which is a democratic right of every citizen and is constitutional in Pakistan.
Well, let's look at some of the criticism that has been leveled against Imran Khan. Liaquat Ali Khan, one of the things that Imran Khan was severely criticized for and mocked at the same time, ridiculed by some, is the fact that during one of the protests, he asked people in Pakistan not to pay their utility bills. Kind of summed up its character based on some of the people who have critiqued him. Would you critique him for what he said there and, of course, then indicate his personality there?
Yes, I think Mr. Imran Khan, he's very popular. He has charismatic appeal. The people of Pakistan like him. But it seems to me, sitting in the United States, that Mr. Imran Khan is very temperamental and intellectually immature. In a democratic system, if you go to the Supreme Court, if you go to the parliament, and your demands are not met, and your demands are not accepted, then you don't go on the street and try to tear down the system or the state. In a democratic system, you temporarily accept your defeat, and you say to yourself, I have been unsuccessful in the parliament, I've been unsuccessful in the Supreme Court. Well, in the next elections, I will go to the people and make my case. I don't think that's what Mr. Imran Khan has done. Even if the Supreme Court and the parliament were not listening to his demands, the option is not to tear down the system and to reject the parliament and reject the Supreme Court. I think the answer is to wait and be patient. And his call not to pay taxes, his call to go and invade the parliament and the prime minister house, I mean, these are not the demands acceptable in a democratic system where the rule of law ought to prevail.
Sadaqat Ali Abbasi, can you please describe for us the role that Nawaz Sharif has with the army? Because, you know, there's obviously, as you're well aware, there's so much information out there that says that the army is not happy with Nawaz Sharif. Nawaz Sharif has pushed the envelope with the army. What is the case here? Some even going as far as saying that the army and Imran Khan and Al-Ghadri are in the same camp trying to promote these protests.
I would like to first reply to what my other colleague has said. That is that you have to wait for next 5 years. See, in Pakistan, the status quo forces, the forces against change, are all together. They have their turns and they always rig elections. And if we wait for the people to for people for next election, we are sure the next election would also be rigged. Because Imran Khan, with his charismatic personality and with his reforms agenda, has attracted people in Pakistan, especially the middle class, the upper middle class, the educated class. He tried to drag them in politics, and they are all in politics. So if you wait for the next elections, the Nawaz Sharif and his other, you know, friends in politics would never let you win that election because they have rigged the elections. So if we wait for another incident, then we have to have another Hosni Mubarak type of elections, which are happening again and again. And the world has seen that he gets 97% votes. And you know what democracy do we have? And secondly, you said Nawaz Sharif and his relationship with army. This has been history in Pakistan that whenever Nawaz Sharif came in power, he ruined all these state organs like judiciary. He was the one who attacked judiciary. He was the one who has always been having tough time with army armed forces. Even this time, one of the TV channels, they started defaming our military intelligence, ISI, and Nawaz Sharif supported that private channel. And then there are other issues about armed forces. So he has been having a history of bad relationship with, in terms of civil-military relationship. So that is one scenario. But as far as Imran Khan is concerned, he's a pure Democrat. He was there on roads when we didn't have an independent judiciary. And that time, Nawaz Sharif was with Imran Khan or they were together. Now, Imran Khan has come up with a reform agenda of election commission and electoral reforms. And he wanted the previous election to be audited. And when he tried all options and we did not get any compensation, any remedy, he came on roads and he is simply protesting, not ruining anything, not damaging the public property or the state property. He's there having peaceful protests in front of parliament, which is a democratic right of any citizen in Pakistan.
Liaghat Ali Khan, if you have a response specifically, if you can, to the fact that our guest there says that Nawaz Sharif has actually gone against the state institutions like the army, like the judiciary.
Unfortunately, the history of Pakistan is such that the armed forces have persistently intervened into the political process and has overthrown democratically elected governments. And I think Mr. Nawaz Sharif has been overthrown twice. So if he's overthrown this time, this will be the third time.
Do you think he will be overthrown? Do you think there's a coup in the making?
I don't think so. I think the generals have learned their lesson and they think they're incapable of running this very complex country. And furthermore, the press is very free and the courts are very independent. So in these circumstances, it would be impossible for the generals to survive and rule the country. So I don't think there's any fear of coup.
Very well. Sadaqat Ali Abbasi, Dawn News, which I'm sure you're aware of, has come out with a report that's saying that Imran Khan and Tahir al-Qadri have been charged under anti-terror laws. This has happened in the past few hours. And that the protesters are going to be dealt with by the army, the ones that are inside the red zone. and perhaps that is going to lead to arrests. Are you aware of that? Is that indeed true? And what will you now do as, I don't know if you're a protester or not, but your party as a whole, who obviously is leading the protests?
That is what is the political dilemma in Pakistan, that our government, Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif and his brother Shahbaz Sharif, there was an incident in Lahore where something like 100 protesters were shot and 15 died. They belonged to Tahir al-Qadri's party. There was no case lodged against those killings. And on the other hand, my friend Liaquat Ali Khan was saying that this is a democratic country. On the other hand, the cases are lodged against Imran Khan and Tahir al-Qadri for protesting. They both were on Islamabad protesting, and the people who died in Islamabad were also shot by Pakistan police. So this is the dilemma, and that is why Imran Khan and his party are on streets, because if there is no law for the powerful elite of this country, and the law is only for those who are either weak or in opposition or not in the government or not belonging to the government. In Nawaz Sharif and his brother, they were the reason of Tahir al-Qadri, the cleric, to be on the roads is that his followers were killed in Lahore, and there was no case lodged against those according to the law of Pakistan. So this is what is the case. However, if this case is lodged against Imran Khan, we will. It's a political case. The case which is being lodged on political motives, I guess Imran Khan and Tehreek-e-Insaf will deal with it politically. We know that these people are very weak, and they cannot lodge any case against a popular political leader of this country who is having a government in one of the four provinces of Pakistan. Having a government in a province bordering Afghanistan, and having opposition in the biggest province of Punjab, and working as an opposition party in the center. I think all this is happening is just Nawaz Sharif is trying to increase pressure on Imran Khan, or maybe he just wants to victimize Imran Khan because he's against this government and he's protesting peacefully on roads.
Well, Liaquat Ali Khan, back to the relationship between Nawaz Sharif and the army. I'd really like to find out what is the story there, because there's reports that have gone as far as saying that Nawaz Sharif has indeed created this friction for three main reasons. One, pursuing the case of treason against Pervez Musharraf, eager to make peace with India, and also the third being trying to negotiate peace with extremists of the Pakistani Taliban. Is that true? What is the relationship right now as we speak between the army and Nawaz Sharif?
I think all the three reasons that you have mentioned, they do influence differing viewpoints on foreign policy. The military governments and the military in general, they prefer that that no rapprochement is reached with India. I think they're also very mad that Pervez Musharraf, their army chief, is being tried. And maybe there is some pressure not to be close to China. So I think you didn't mention that, but let me add that factor into the mix too. Yes, I think as far as the Nawaz government is concerned, they want to establish normal relationship with India. They want to open up trade. Remember, Nawaz Sharif is basically a businessman. So he sees politics through the eyes of business. And he believes that if India, opens up its business with Pakistan, Pakistan would do well. So yes, I agree with you that on foreign policy, there is tension between the viewpoints of Nawaz government and the viewpoints of the military. And I think the best way to sort it out would not be to destabilize the Nawaz government, but to negotiate. I'm talking about the military negotiating with the civilian government in order to arrive at a foreign policy which is good for Pakistan and which is also good for the army. So I think that's the solution to this problem and not to destabilize the political system and not to destabilize the constitutional system in Pakistan.
Very well, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much, Professor of Law at Washburn University, Liaghat Ali Khan, talking to us from Topeka, Kansas, and from the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, Sadaqat Ali Abbasi spoke to us from Islamabad. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mika Vitavoy and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.